Leviticus chapter 22. Tell Aaron and his sons, you must not bring disgrace on my holy name, so treat with respect the sacred offerings that the people of Israel dedicate to me. Of course, Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, failed in that completely. Point is, we must not disgrace God's name. That's a wider principle, because we are baptized into the name, and we bear God's name, and therefore we can dishonor that name by our behavior. So God has no other witness in this world, in that sense, apart from us. We are the body of Christ. We are his face. We are his hands. We are his mouth. We are his legs to the world around us. Whoever of the seed of Aaron is a leper or has an issue shall not eat of the holy things until he is clean. Whoever touches anything that is unclean by the dead, or a man whose seed goes from him, or whoever touches any creeping thing, whereby he may be made unclean, whatever uncleanness a person has, the person that touches any such shall be unclean until the evening, and shall not eat of the holy things. I think this is the basis upon which Paul says, examine yourself when you sit at the Lord's table before you take the bread and drink the wine. Because we are to realize that whilst those things are simply bread and wine, the things that they represent are very holy, the crucified body and poured out blood of the Lord Jesus. The fact that we are asked to break bread regularly, I think, invites us therefore of itself really to this kind of examination. Am I unclean? It's not that the bread and wine is just there for the perfect and the clean. It is there, of course, for all of us who are sinners. But we have to recognize that sinfulness. No foreigner shall eat of the holy things. A foreigner living with the priests or a hired servant shall not eat of the holy thing. But if a priest buys a slave purchased by his money, he shall eat of it. If a priest's daughter is married to an outsider, she shall not eat of the heave offering of the holy things. I think you see there the desire that they should not marry those who were outside, or else they were cutting themselves off, really, from the holy things. If a man eats something holy unknowingly, then he shall add the fifth part of its value to it and shall give the holy thing to the priest. So you see there again how sins of ignorance are still sins. And that is a principle that's got a lot of implications. It means that we cannot just shrug and think, yeah, well, I didn't know about that. Well, that's tough on God then if he got mad with me by my sin. Well, I didn't know. If I stand on your foot accidentally, that still hurts you. And when I realize I've been standing on your foot, I should apologize and ensure that I put things right as far as I can. And so it is with us and God. I think this is why we should be like David and say, show me your law, show me your way. Quite simply, if you love God, you want to go his way. Speak to Aaron and to his sons and to all the children of Israel and say to them, whoever is of the house of Israel or the foreigners in Israel who offers his offering, that you may be accepted, you shall offer a male without blemish. But whatever has a blemish, that you shall not offer. It will not be acceptable. And yet, of course, no animal, like no human being, is actually totally without blemish. And the thoughtful Israelite would have thought about that and would have longed for a perfect sacrifice. And it's the same, really, with us, that we go through all the disappointment that we go through with human weakness in ourselves, in other people, in society, in the church, and so forth. But that is all intentional to make us long the more for the Lord Jesus and to appreciate him the more. Whoever offers a sacrifice of peace offerings to Yahweh to accomplish a free will offering, it shall be without blemish. So if you decide that I just love you, Lord, I want to just of my own free will offer an extra sacrifice, don't think that you can give God your junk. Blind, injured, maimed, having a wart festering or having a running sore, you shall not offer these to Yahweh. It's very easy to think I will offer God that which maybe I have no use for. And you think of how David said that I will not sacrifice to God that which cost me nothing. Sacrifice means that I am now minus, that I saved up that money and now I gave it and I do not have it. A bull or a lamb that has any deformity or is lacking in his parts could be offered for a free will offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. So there were different types of offerings. There was the peace offering and there was this just general free will offering. And God did allow them just to make a free will offering of an animal that did have something lacking. But to celebrate peace with God, they were to not do that. When a bull or a sheep or a goat is born, it shall remain 7 days with its mother, and from the eighth day and thenceforth it shall be accepted for the offering of an offering made by fire to Yahweh. You wonder why that was. It could be that maybe a deformity in the animal was only clear after it had been alive for 7 days, and they were to be careful that they only offered unblemished animals. Or it could simply be that God is sensitive to animals, that an animal gives birth, and it's rather cruel to take the tiny animal away and sacrifice it. Let it be together for 7 days. Likewise, whether it's a cow or a ewe, you shall not kill it and its young both in one day. So God is sensitive to animals and their feeling. How much more is he sensitive to our feelings? You shall not profane my holy name, but I will be made holy among the children of Israel. I am Yahweh who makes you holy, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. So the reason why they were brought out of Egypt was to serve God, and they're being told, therefore you must do it properly. We also were brought out of Egypt, out of the world, through the water, through baptism, as they went through the Red Sea, but not simply so, not just to get out of Egypt, but in order to serve God. And we should be aware of that. The baptism was not just ticking a box that I now agree to a particular set of doctrine, but we are actively called to serve God.